guys, let's get it rolling. We are on, first of all, welcome to the podcast, episode 16. My beautiful wife, 16. Britt. 16, almost the age we met. Country's in the house.
What's up? What's up? And
Tanner freaking yes. Fox,
let's
dude.
Go.
Welcome, man.
Thank you. I'm stoked to be here.
I'm so amped. It has been way too long.
Yeah, it has
like
been.
We chat online. It's like friends nowadays just chat online. Mm-hmm. Like we're friends, but we don't see each other.
Very true.
Is that the new friendships? Is that the new
pretty
loyalty?
Much these days, yeah.
Yeah. I said something about my kids only have online friends and people got mad, bro. I was like, get real friends. They're like, these are my real friends. It's true.
It is true.
Yeah, you're a real friend.
Thank you. I would say the same.
Welcome to Ohio. It's when was the last time you were here?
I believe about 2019. We did some jumps off the dirt jump into the pond back there.
On the bike?
Yeah. And I gave you a old army truck.
That's right, yeah. Dude. Army truck.
Yeah.
You know what I just did with that truck?
What'd you do?
I just gave it to my uncle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gave it to him.
Good.
He just is in love with these trucks. Like when I say in love, he's like, he knows everything about them. And this truck's just sitting in my backyard rotten.
Naturally.
So I literally just was like, it's yours.
No, that's good.
He's so happy. Yeah.
We made a bunch of cool videos with it.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why did you give me that truck?
Well, 2 years prior to that, I drove your school bus into your pond and totaled it. So I felt it was only right if I replace what I had broken.
What a jerk. Yeah. What an epic video.
That
like,
really was.
Epic. How's, God, do we talk about this bus journey? I feel like we have to.
Yeah, we should. That's
there's
like
so much more to it.
Very legendary experience
when,
with you.
When you were coming here, did we know you were going to drive that in the pond? Because we planned it. We planned it, guys.
Yeah.
We planned it.
Yeah.
First of all, there's the perfect camera angles. There's most people know this was a planned event.
Yeah.
We're going to drive this bus into the pond. In the vlog, it looks like it was unplanned.
It's actually kind of a funny story that I think would be cool to talk about on the podcast. You were starting a company, and I was potentially going to sign to your company. And I flew out and you said, hey, bro, I got a perfect video for us to go viral. And I was like, what? You're like, I think we could drive the school bus in the pond. I'm like, let's do it. And then we come up with the whole skit where we did donuts. And then you said, I made fun of him for jumping in the pond on the bike. And I was like, hold my shoes, bro.
Yeah. God, yeah. I feel like we might be actually breaking some hearts right now. Guys.
Maybe low key.
Guys, first of all, look at the camera angles. There's a drone over the pond.
Yeah.
There's like, it was very, this had to be done properly.
Yeah,
it was a dangerous activity.
Yeah.
Bro. Now I think YouTube would flag that instantly.
And looking back on that, like that was terrifying that we did that. Like if you look back, you just let a 17-year-old just like full gas into a pond in a full-size school bus.
Yeah, you might get some hate for that.
I don't have
that
a good
it was
rep.
Planned. It wasn't that he just did it. It was like you're like, yeah, do this.
Hey, I was buddy, about it. I didn't
I trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I have a thing with 17-year-olds.
Oh my gosh.
You know what the scariest part for me was? It wasn't like, Tanner, let's drive this bus in the pond. Country was alongside us.
Yeah, bro. We were
talking
all
about,
in it.
Talking
except
about
for
trust.
You.
Yeah, I was holding my newborn
did
baby.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Because there's a chance you did not know.
No, I did not know.
I think we knew.
You didn't know that was going down?
No, I did not know it was going down.
I think to me, that was the part that was like, this is still real.
Dude,
because
what?
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
So that was the part.
I would have never been on the bus.
Exactly.
If I would have known.
So that part, I think you took your shoes off. You're like, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, I gave my shoes to him.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the most scariest thing about that was... Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was, like, bracing myself. It's like, there's no way he's doing this. And I was like, oh, my God, he's doing
it's
this. Like,
late.
It started,
yeah,
it's gone. It started picking up. What really got me was you tried to go out the bus door, and there was so much water came out. You was like, so, and all of a sudden, the bus started tipping down.
Yeah, like
that
Titanic.
Was the scariest part.
And that was the scariest part. And I was like, this is as real gets.
I remember saying, like, we'll just leave the front door open. We'll just go right out the front door.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as we submerge, that front door slammed shut.
Yeah.
And the pressure of the water was just keeping it shut.
Yeah, and it was coming through the front windshield.
That
and
was terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
We didn't think any of that through after touching the water. Like,
yeah.
We didn't,
and then also the speed you had
was
impressive.
Yeah, we hauled ass.
Sent it.
Yeah, as fast as we could go.
Sent it. And then the depth of the pond surprised everybody.
Yeah.
Because it just ate that bus.
Completely
it
up to
it.
The...
It was just the very back end was sticking out. And that was our escape hatch. And I remember running back for the GoPro.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought I needed that GoPro.
Yeah.
But
and there's a clip of you like,
dude, I was scared to death.
You know,
trying
to get
$300 GoPro I'm trying to save.
Yeah.
And I never got credit for saving those shoes. I walked out with your shoes.
Dry. That's right. I got them. The NMDs. I remember. Britt, I remember the shoes.
Britt, you would have just had Cora.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Cora.
Yeah.
You got. I remember there was like the back porch where everyone, your mom was freaking out.
She was screaming. Yeah.
Freaking
in the background.
Out. Yeah. You were obviously freaking out because we wouldn't get out of the bus.
Yeah. She's I'm like,
going down with the ship. This is my ship.
Did you guys test that like back emergency door first?
No, we literally didn't.
Remember the neighbors running over? Like, yeah. They didn't know we were putting this thing in the bus. They thought we were just somebody drowned in the bus. Dude. Yeah. Terrifying. We were so dumb.
Hey, bro. 15 million views. That was the name of the game.
That was a big one.
Yeah, it really was.
That was a big one. And we'd just come off the pregnancy as well. So that might've been like almost a return video.
Yeah.
Pregnancy, birth. Bus.
Well, and that video alone like put me on the map as a YouTuber like so much back then, because like that was again like 2017-18, and I just remember like people coming up to me on the streets, like anywhere I was, like, did you really, like, I can't believe you drove the school bus into the pond. Like, people always talk to me about
that. There was no faking that. Yeah. You really put a school bus
we did.
Into a pond.
We did.
It didn't matter if we planned it or not. We really did what we said we were gonna do, whether it was the audience knew or not. We did the act.
Yeah.
And that put you in a spot of not only putting a bus in the pond, but Roman's bus.
Yeah, exactly, right? Bro.
You took my bus. Yeah. That was the part that was like, you know, a little script.
And then before that, another thing that put me on the map was you let me drive your GTR when I was 16.
Did I? Did you have your license?
I think I just
got it.
I think I just got it. I had it for like 6 months.
Dude, I loved you out of the gate, man. I remember meeting you and I was just like, I want to see this kid make it, bro.
I could feel the love. I really could.
I was like, I had a genuine connection with you, man. I don't know if it's because everyone thought you were my son.
Yeah.
But I remember just being like, man, I want to do whatever I can for this guy.
No, and I could feel the love from both, all you guys.
To your credit, like, I remember seeing a lot of people like, you'd post an achievement. Like, yo, thanks to Roman. I don't ever remember having a part of that. Like, you earned those achievements. Like, I don't remember sending a slew of people to you.
You didn't send a slew of people to me, but you gave me the gateway of like the flood of people to be able to come over to me.
I don't remember that at all.
Because what happened was, is I came here to do a collaboration with another kid, another family, the Piazzas.
Oh, man.
I had showed up here with them as like a bonus kid with them.
Yeah, you were like their friend.
Yeah, exactly. And then you ended up kind of liking my content and what I did. So I was in your vlog in the background, really. And you did one little like a montage for me where you put all my best scooter clips.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it made me look way better than Rocco. So I was like,
But you were killing it that day.
Yeah.
You were like doing all the stunts and, oh my God, who is this kid?
Yeah.
He's got something.
No, but you'd be out here working in the Smallmore store and I would purposely be like hearing you and I would try to do a flip on the little ramp like right when you walk out and then you like film me for your vlog.
So you were working it.
Yeah.
So you had the mindset, dude.
Yeah.
That was it. You were hungry.
But yeah, you actually put me in the video because I wasn't here to do a content with you. And then the GTR thing, I even remember that kid Rocco jumped your GTR. That was the video of the day.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to jump the GTR. Like the mom told me I couldn't. So I was like, I was working wherever I could, you know, hit a little flare here. But I was just excited to be here.
You know what's cool is Rocco was a cool kid.
Yeah, he still is.
Yeah, I've not worked with Rocco, I think, since then.
Yeah.
But great kid.
Yeah, like, he's still doing talent, action sports.
But I've not kept up or I never became friends with Rocco.
Yeah.
Like you and I.
No, I know. Like, it was, yeah.
That trip in itself has a lot of background.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should get into that, but
I think so. Which part of it?
Well, I remember, I don't know if it's important. I just don't know if it's important to say, but I remember getting some email or text after just asking not to put you in that video, that first vlog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like, it was something just like, you know, they wanted to highlight other people.
Yeah.
And I remember as a vlogger, I was like, that's half my day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't film that way. Like, I film my day and I post it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, that's my day. I'm posting my day. And I just rolled with my life. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever came of it. But I remember requests came through to not put you in the vlog or not highlight you in the vlog. Yeah, it was wild.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you really did have a part in, like, when that's thank you back in the days, because you did, like, you didn't have to put me in the video. You were asked not to.
That's weird.
And because you put me in front of millions of people, those people were like, this kid's cool or this kid's not, and they knew me. And I kind of ran with that, but that's why I would always.
Yeah. You were grinding hungry. You drove that GTR. I think I remember you saying, I'm going to have one of these.
I bought one a week later because of that.
Yeah. And now your GTR is way cooler than mine.
Yeah. And then I
way cooler.
Ran with the GTR thing for social media. And that was a big part of my internet persona.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The GTRs were like free views for a while.
Seriously.
How many YouTube?
Because of you?
How many YouTubers got GTRs
after you?
I don't know if it's just because of me, but there was like
a big reason.
There was a lot of YouTubers with GTRs.
Definitely a good 10 for sure.
It's a cool car, whether you knew me or not. It's a cool car. Yeah. That was like the childhood car. You play Need for Speed. You play these games. You drive the GTR. It's like a cool car.
100%.
And you still have your car?
Oh yeah, 100%. I don't drive it as much, like same as you guys, it sounds like, but I still have it. It sits there because kind of tied to my name, I feel like.
Yeah.
Okay, I shouldn't really get rid of it.
That's why, I feel so bad. Mine sits in a garage. I've had it for years. It has no miles.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do to it?
What?
Maybe you could help me.
Oh my gosh.
I think I'm going to do this. Like for real, I'm going to lift it and rally it.
Like the Mustang?
I'm going to put like the KC lights
like the Mustang
on top. But no, like a nice tiny lift, like a rally car.
Okay.
Not a monster lift, like a tiny lift just to get those 30-inch knobs underneath.
Yeah.
You know?
I could see it.
You are becoming a car guy.
I just want to do something with this GTR. I own it. I've owned it since I bought it and I've done nothing with it, right? It could be more content. Yeah. It could be maybe a series. I want to rally this thing and then take it up one of them ski mountains when it's snowy.
Oh, I've seen a video of this, like Jan Olsen.
Yeah, I want to do it.
Yeah, I know
you're I want to go up like Shea's Ski Resort in the winter,
just
ripping it in this little lifted rally GTR.
I like that
idea. With the KC lights on top and the wide body fenders.
That would be viral. I haven't seen anyone do like a rally build like that.
It would be so sick.
Yeah, that would be.
People are probably hating me for this, but some of y'all loving it.
No,
but like they don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The GTR would be, it would be in use because right now, dude, it just sits. Like it's sad. People would love to have that car and it just sits.
I literally drove mine to Texas and then left it there. It's at my friend's house.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do that. My little, did you see my corn cob? I got a corn cob.
It's corn cob. Yeah, that's what I thought when you said that.
Dude, I got this 1971 Duster that's cropped, chopped, convertible with this V8.
Not the thing you were with a hydro.
No, that's Impala.
Oh.
I would just call it the corn cob, but it's the dumbest car you've ever seen. I use it for a burnout car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's just in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's like, I got like.
You call it the corn crowd?
Corn cob.
Corn cob.
It's green. It's the ugliest car.
Oh, that's sick though.
Okay, this is a terrible photo, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the corn cob.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense.
This is the dumb car.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I have no use for it. It's just going to sit somewhere else
until
I use it. You do any racing?
I've done like track days where I have like a pro driver teaching me in like a Porsche race car or something for the day, but nothing more than that. I've never done any. Actually, sorry. I did a dirt oval race in Toronto one time.
Oh, that was
fun. In like a four banger. And I was just like, rah, 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 rah.
That's the best.
Yeah, that was really cool, but nothing other than that. And then just track days, drift days, stuff like that. Dude, I love racing though.
I got this group that's just like slowly hooking me into this stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just did, Cletus McFarland's event in Bristol, at Bristol, like the most epic event. And we raced Crown Vicks. It was like 25 Crown Vicks.
What is the course you're racing?
Bristol.
Wait,
the NASCAR race.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Crown Vicks with nitrous buttons.
Oh, shit. So you're just like hauling ass around a left turn?
It is so fun. Like, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
It's like I've done two now. And then I did the Vernout event. And then I was at the LS Fest this weekend. I'm like slowly going to all these. I'm like having so much fun, dude. We get to meet so many fans. And like, it's fun.
So where do you take that? Does that go into NASCAR? So you're racing in a Crown Vic.
Yeah.
That's a V8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then where do you take that? Where do you level up from there? Do you have to master that first?
Bro, I think I'm just Crown Vic racer.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do Le Mullets in November. It's like a 2.5 hour race.
Is that where you build your own car?
I don't build anything.
Oh. And then you just go.
Nothing would drive if I built it.
Fair enough.
I'm just a wheel, man.
I can't
man.
Build shit either.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about anything.
I'm fortunate enough to just be able to pay somebody to build what I want. Yeah, because I'm not good at it. I'm not good at almost anything.
Like with
if
motors.
If it wasn't for YouTube, dude, I have just been screwed in life.
I feel the same way, actually. I do feel the same way.
Like, I know YouTube gets so much flack, and there's even things that I disagree with, but I will thank them for life for the opportunity they gave me because it changed my world. Without YouTube, dude, I'd just, you know, I'd have raised my family in the factory life or took over dad's business or something because I'm not good at things, dude.
I got a good question off of that. What do you think are the negative aspects of social media and like YouTube, in your opinion? Because I feel like you've been in the game longer than me and most people. Yeah. Do you think there's negative aspects with it?
Yeah, of course.
What do you think those are?
Well, one reality check that I've had is, and a lot of people aren't going to relate to this, but the mental exhaustion that I experienced through daily vlogging. Mm. I know you. We've seen a lot of daily vloggers end daily vlogging.
Yeah. Just get like, burnout.
It's literally mental reasons. It's like you can't do it anymore, mm-hmm. right? Even if I want to. I look at a vlog camera now and I want to throw up. Like it makes me nauseous.
Yeah.
It did something to my brain. But the other side of it is I don't want to do anything fun without a vlog camera.
Yeah.
So it's like I still want to capture these moments and still want to produce the content. I just don't want the thought of I'm going to film all day and edit all night. It did something to my brain. It sounds so bad.
No,
right?
We were talking about that like briefly yesterday even.
Yeah.
I think a lot of creators can relate to that.
It did something to my mental part of my body that's just so broken now, man. And that's why, and I know the viewers can see the joy I have here on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's my next joy in this social media attempt.
Yeah,
right? And it makes you happy when people are like, oh, I love your podcast, instead of I love your vlogs. Or
you know what's crazy? When I started the podcast, I was like, one day, I'm going to wait for that moment where someone comes up to me and says, dude, I love the podcast. And now that's all I hear. 16 episodes in, it's all podcast talk, dude. And that makes me so happy. The podcast is doing well and I get to have all my buddies. Yeah. And I guess the fear kicks in when I think about running out of buddies. Right? Like I have a big social circle, but eventually, right?
I'm always here.
I'm gonna have to start asking my kids, yo, who's popping on YouTube right now? Cause like, all my buddies, I'm out of buddies, right?
Yeah.
So it's cool to be able to just sit down and chat with guys like you who we have so much history with.
Yeah. So it's important to evolve in this space for sure.
Yeah.
I could agree with that a lot.
Yeah. And we all had like such a fun, I think of like our YouTube time. I think of social media like this. Imagine you're from California. So you're going to get this analogy real well.
Okay.
You look out and there's these beautiful waves, right? Beautiful waves create surfers, right? So you got all these surfers out there, YouTubers. All right. We're going to use YouTubers as surfers.
I love this. Yeah.
There's a lot of us that see the wave and they paddle and they don't catch the wave. Mm-hmm. But maybe one does and they're up on that wave.
Yeah.
Now the second part of surfing, staying on the wave, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of YouTubers that catch the wave, they immediately crash, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of us have been on that wave a long time and before the water was full of surfers. Now you go to the same beautiful waves and you can't even get on your surfboard because it's packed full of surfers,
straight
YouTubers,
on,
social, TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram. The waters are packed. So now even if you catch a wave, you're getting tackled by other creators, surfers that you can't get up on this wave because there's so many people trying to catch this wave.
And they're pushing you down. And
now there's waves going sideways. And
now the goal is to get up on the wave and stay on it and ride that wave as long as you can. And I feel like we've been so blessed. So many of us have had such a long, lucrative wave mm-hmm. that we've been able to ride. And, you know, every wave comes to an end.
Yeah. You fall off. And you're tired.
You're tired. Your legs
are tired. For years.
You get old.
But eventually, you go back out and you get on another wave. And that's kind of part of this podcast is like grabbing that next joy in my life.
Yeah.
Catching that next wave. You know, surfing's fun. Yep.
I think I'm in an interesting point in my surfing journey where like I got off the wave, I'm a little tired, question whether or not I want to swap out for a longboard, maybe a shortboard, maybe a quad fin. And
you're scoping it out.
Yeah, and then I'm at my binoculars and I'm looking back out at the surf out there.
Where's the wave breaking?
But you're back, you picked a new surfboard.
Yeah.
You paddled it out. You caught the wave.
Yeah. Yeah. I took a long, we took a long break, and it refueled my excitement for social media.
I know, that's awesome. I can tell that you really fit without this space so much.
Without this, I think I would have just got off the wave, dude. Yeah, this podcast is a new fun. I enjoy it so much. Like, it's just so much joy.
No, I could tell. It's really fitting. I've been watching all the episodes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I keep up with everything. So
thank you.
I just want to say it's an honor to be on the Roman Atwood podcast. So thank you, all the viewers, for having me. Hope you guys are enjoying.
It's been so fun just watching you through your career. You've crushed it. And not only did you crush YouTube, but you were smart and you jumped on merch. Mm-hmm. And dude, you killed it with merch. Like, this is a big part of social media that I try to get everybody in. Like, do merch. You are leaving so much money on the table if you don't do merch. We made more on merch than anything else. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, big time.
Right? So you have to do this. And I would suggest doing it at bunkerbranding.com.
Hey, I'm switching companies right
now. Let's go, baby.
I'm switching companies. I'm shopping right now.
Yeah, so we moved all of Smile More to Bunker. Good friends, Matt, Meredith, they built an
Demolition.
Amazing, yeah. Yep. They built an amazing company that we are now part owners in, and
everyone there is rock stars.
Oh, really? Maybe I will literally
come over, dude. We'll treat you so good. And if you're creating any content, create merch. Right.
Yeah.
You'll back me up.
I agree. Could not agree more. Yeah. After hearing you talk about merchandise on Impulsive, even, and how even he was saying Jake started and it made Logan do it, and then I took a lot of inspiration even from how you did it yourself, and that's how I started mine originally.
I know. I remember you coming here, and the next thing I know, you've got your own Smile More building.
Yeah, straight up.
But you did it smart. You had somebody finding relevant merch. Mm-hmm. Dude, we were like a Smile More logo for 6 years.
Yeah.
Like we had some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. We did. We still will always, but
fidget spinners.
We jumped on some of those moments that were very successful.
The fidget spinners.
God.
Oh my God. Can we talk about those for a second? How many fidget spinners do you sell? You ordered custom ones. I remember that.
We custom built and numbered them. So they were collectible. Right?
I remember them.
But here's the thing with custom making, it takes so much time.
And more money or not?
I don't know if it was more money. It was just time. Because we wanted our own Smile More fidget spinner, not everybody was just ordering with their name.
That's what I did. Yeah. Right. I sold 75,000 of them.
75,000. So here's what happened to us. The fidget spinner craze was insane. Like no other. Yeah, has there been anything
literally
since?
Literally, why did that happen?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know, but it was great for us.
Yeah.
We did, I think in like 48 hours, I think we sold 60,000 fidget spinners.
Well, there was four different colors, 5,000 each.
Yeah. No, so we do 20,000 at a time. 20,000 at a time drop. Mm-hmm. And I think we did three drops.
Yeah.
And they sold out in, like, the first drop was like 18 hours, 20,000 fidget spinners.
Oh, I can't imagine the Shopify screen.
Just
it
was flooding. Insane. Flooding.
I remember that.
But ours were cool because they were Smile More, but they also were numbered.
I remember, dude. They were numbered. Yes.
So it was something at least unique.
Yeah.
What we didn't know is on our third set dropped, it was like fidget spinner sales stopped the next day.
I remember that as well.
We never sold another.
7-Eleven had them at the checkout.
We never sold another fidget spinner, dude.
Oh, we still sell them.
When I say we didn't sell another, I mean we didn't sell fidget spinners.
It's like one a month.
People still, to this date would order. They'd still get ordered.
Yeah.
Fidget spinners are still awesome. If I pick one up, I'll sit there and just spin it forever.
100%.
So I get the, but man, it hit so hard and then it fell off a cliff.
It was weird.
But those were fun moments.
Yeah.
Owning merch where you get to jump in on this craze.
Seriously though.
And it was like, God, how much did you make on fidget spinners?
I sold them for $20. They cost me probably $250, and I sold 75,000 of them.
Wow.
So I don't even know what the math is.
Right? Yeah.
But I did really well.
That's fun numbers.
And again, that was in 2-3 months.
Yeah.
You saw that many.
Yeah, I remember our accountant like calling me, and he was like, "Hey, you did this number."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, that's right."
Yeah.
1.5 million.
He was like, "Okay.
What?
I'm just checking."
What's the most sales you ever did in a month merchandise?
Gosh, dude. Well over a million.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine most ever 1 month was 800.
Yeah, we 800,000. We did well over.
How did you do on your scooter?
Oh, the scooters are another amazing product.
Yeah.
We still have two Tanner Fox scooters in the garage right now that gets ridden all the time.
I saw one last night when we got home from the airport. Yeah, that's awesome.
They're like daily used.
Yeah, so they were like the number one selling scooter on Amazon for a while. And then that basically, I just get a check quarterly for them. And they do so well in themselves because scooter stores and bike shops, they buy them. Like, I guess that's wholesale or something.
Wholesale.
But all the shops know me, so they always want new stuff. And then kids buy them out of the shops, and then they order new ones. And it just sells itself.
It looks like you've been doing more riding.
Yeah, I've been scootering a lot more lately, getting back into just being more active. I feel like I went through, like, the mental health wave, and then I kind of realized, like, I was active my whole life, and then all of a sudden I wasn't.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get back to the skate park more, swimming.
You obviously had an act for aerial. You have that aerial vision.
Oh, totally.
Right? And you, first time I met you, you were like flipping on a scooter.
Yeah. Right? On little tiny stuff.
Yeah. So you definitely had a talent for it. And you were like right in the mix, I think, where scooters were no longer dorky and they became cool.
Yeah.
There was this wave of like, you ride scooters?
Yeah.
To like, dude, this dude can ride a scooter.
That was like my life mission, was to help mend that in some way.
Definitely did.
It's still obviously out there. There's some skaters that are like, oh, we don't respect what you guys do. But it's definitely become more mainstream as like, oh, okay, you do tricks on a scooter. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know who I think has really helped?
R. Willie. 100%.
Oh, he's God,
biggest legend. Shout out Ryan Williams. Biggest
absolute
legend.
Absolute like one of a kind athlete.
Straight up.
Yes.
One of a kind.
Modern day Travis Pastrana.
By the way, he gets on everything and he's good, right?
Like, every single thing he touches.
He's a wizard, dude. Yeah. He's got cheat codes. I think, you know how Spider-Man can like slow down time? I think he can do it.
No, straight up, because the tricks he does and the stuff he innovates and comes up with on a daily basis and does over and over on BMX and skateboards and scooters and mountain bikes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he likes to like fuse the tricks from scootering to mountain bikes to BMX. It's unreal.
And he's just a superhuman in person too.
Yeah.
Like just a good human, dude.
Yeah, you've done a lot of stuff with him.
Yeah, I love Ryan, man.
Yeah.
I love him. He's a good guy. He always, every single time Nitro Circus is around, he's the guy that's like, here's your tickets.
Yeah.
Like he's just a good dude, man. That whole Nitro Circus family is beautiful.
Doesn't Ryan owe you some money?
Yeah, actually. Well, where's my money, Ryan?
For what?
Well, we did some UFC betting.
Wow. Oh, really?
Boy, wait, is that why?
Yeah.
How much does he owe you?
It's like $1,000.
Damn.
It was on Jake Paul and Woodley.
Is that what he Venmo'd me? He said to give to you.
I don't remember this time, Ryan. You don't have to pay me, buddy. But
that's funny.
No, we were gonna put it down on Vegas on Red and Black. Remember?
Yeah.
Guys, got a quick word from one of our sponsors over at BetterHelp. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in a problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in your life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or how small. I have personal friends that have used BetterHelp, and this is something that can be very private and personal to your needs and wants. This is where BetterHelp really is special, that it's private, it's online. You don't have to use a face camera if you don't want to. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists anytime. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can help you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Roman today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Roman, R-O-M-A-N. Let's get back to the show. Let's jump into, because a lot of people want to know, you've not left YouTube, but you have for a while. You did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think I think all creators go through the same sort of thing in different ways. I just feel like I reached the end of my wave, like we were kind of talking about in the beginning. Like I just got really tired and my like brain has developed just making content and based off of people judging you in a certain light for so long that I think I just, my brain like literally felt fried. Like I did it as long as I could until I just was like, okay, I need to like grow up a little bit more. Cause I've been doing this since I was like 15 as a full-time job. So I just felt like I was really behind mentally for my age and I needed to like kind of take a chill and develop a little bit and live life a little bit. And like the mental health stuff, big wave of depression, I dealt with anxiety stuff. And it was just got to the point where I was like, all right, well, my life's more important than kind of chasing the same thing every day. So I just took a little chill break on it. And then now I'm kind of finding my way back to it in a better more healthy way. But I've also kind of been giving myself like time, and I filmed a bunch of content over a couple months, and then I've been posting one video a week now just to slowly get back in the algorithm and kind of slowly get back into it. But I'm not mad about it. I'm glad to finally get to like live for a little bit.
Yeah. It's a tough topic, I feel like, to talk about. It's so hard, right? Because it's not something you can relate to unless you've lived it, I think. Because I know when I say it, I assume people are like, come on, dude. It's the easiest job ever. You're not working in a factory. You're not building cars. You're not, like, I get it. It is mentally exhausting. And I didn't feel it until I quit.
Yeah.
I was in it.
When you quit, it's even weirder because then you like feel like you changed who you are.
I hit a wall, dude. And also the balance between, you know, I've always had the mindset of like, you know, I can always stop and raise my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I always have that.
Right? I remember back in the day when you guys, the respect level was you guys would make great content and then it would go, I'm in the same roof, and how you will go to your room to edit, Roman, Brittany will go edit. And it's just like that separation, and all night you're going through this editing just to deliver the perfect collaboration the moment, and it's like, man, that was a 24-hour day, and you guys got to do it again tomorrow.
I feel like unless you're in
it, and I was just like, man, like this editing is like just as tough and putting a story together besides filming content. And I was like, and I used to see like you guys mentally how drained you guys were, because that's that's physically like just going through that stuff. I'm like, yo, you okay, man? What can I do?
Yeah.
I wish I could push a keyboard or something for you guys.
Mm-hmm. No, and like the weird thing is I feel like you're building like, you're building an internet persona. Mm-hmm. Like that's also, I think the viewer has a hard time understanding the difference. It's like, obviously you can be yourself while you're building your internet persona, but at a certain point you outgrow that. Or like, this is how I felt. At a certain point I was outgrowing that and I didn't even know how to like merge the two people. Like,
you literally hit puberty on camera, bro.
Yeah. And then there was like the real Tanner that like didn't even know who he was yet because he'd only been making videos and, oh, I love scootering and cars and this thing. And then outgrew him. The old Tanner got a little boring and I was just trying to figure out how to like merge the two of them into one. That's why I was saying it's kind of a mind.
Really
hard to relate if you don't do it.
Well, it's even hard for me to relate as early as you started. Yeah. I was 8, 9 years old when I started vlogging. I was a man, dude.
Yeah.
Man. I don't even like talking about it because I know everybody's just like, dude, get over it. Like, you made a lot of money holding the camera.
But yeah, most people can't relate. But if you're in it, it's like, it's hard to reach out too, because there was this girl that got reamed on TikTok because she's like, do you guys work? And it was just like, She got reamed because she supposedly works, but she's a creator.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you're doing that, you have no idea. It's like the struggles that come with it and like the background of that.
I think the pressure too to create good content.
Yeah.
And and what really sucks is the way that YouTube's based your content only on title and thumbnail, right? Like, the daily vlogs where you're like, this is my best video ever, but I have no title and thumbnail. So you're up for hours at 3 a.m. Like, the only thing that matters is this title and thumbnail.
Yeah.
To this day, it's still such, even when you have a good, like a podcast, it does well. The first thing it says under your successful video is look at your title and thumbnail. Something must stick out. The whole thing is built on that clickbait. That's what it is. Call it what you want, but it's clickbait.
And then now the engine of like, how long does someone watch your clickbait for?
Yeah.
Of like how much they'll push it.
It's really weird system, and that eats you alive. Because now suddenly I can make the worst video ever, but as long as I got a good title and thumbnail, doesn't matter. I'm still going to get paid, still going to get the views.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to create now great content.
Yeah.
But now we got to create a great thumbnail and title.
Yeah.
And that can take longer than all of the content. Sucks, dude. I hate that part.
I know. I feel like our job evolved into something that we almost didn't even expect. Like, is it? I feel like it's just me, but like growing up the last 5 years doing this stuff, I didn't ever think about the fact that I'm like in the entertainment industry. Like, and then that hits you, and then it's just like, that's when your job seems like evolve a little bit, and then you're like, oh, I got to think about this different. Like, I'm not just like having fun making a video about whatever I was having fun doing.
This comes back to the crowded waters. Like, when you post a video, you're now competing with millions of videos, right? So how do you get your video to get clicked? Why is your video gonna get clicked?
Right? Do some wild shit.
It's like walking in a bookstore and picking a book based on the cover.
Straight up.
Right, you have to be, it's got to be eye candy. It's got to be like, oh my God, yeah. I got to click this, right? Yeah. Odds are if they click, they're probably going to like it. You just got to get them there.
Yeah.
And that can go for new creators. You got to just get them there. They're probably going to like the content.
Yeah. In the daily vlog days, how were you coming up with concepts? What was it based off of?
Just putting Brittany in a bra or a bikini.
Yeah. But there was no, it was just like, I know this will do good.
No, of course. Like, it was a different time.
Yeah.
Right? There wasn't as much. I see a lot of.
Hey, because I was doing that too, by the way, with my ex. So yeah. I know the grind.
Yeah, it was like sex sells, dude. It does. But we had a lot of thumbnails that had nothing to do with Brittany that did.
Of course.
Very, yeah. very well. But tons. When you didn't have one, that was always an easy go to.
Naturally, right? Yeah, 100%.
It was like.
This happened to my girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. Dude, it got to the point where we would just design an entire day around a thumbnail.
Yeah, that's how it got to be. Yeah.
That's how mentally sickening it became. It was like, what's our thumbnail for tomorrow? We'll build a whole video around that thumbnail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my brain was at I would go on the trending page every day and I would just look through the 30 videos and see which one is doing good. That's relevant to what I like to do. So I would see monster truck RC car or something. And then that day I would base my thumbnail around
that. That was my video, by the way.
Monster truck RC car. It probably was, bro. It literally probably was. Cause I would look at you and the Paul brother. Then I would say, okay, what is everyone doing today? And I would try to throw myself in the equation, get on the little recommended video. Were you on that kind of grind or were you just working so you didn't need to?
So here's how I did my whole career. And this is based off my father. My dad is a phenomenal guitar player. And he made it a point to not listen to music so that he wouldn't be inspired by other artists. So he'd always be original.
Wow. Mm.
So I based my entire career off trying to be as original as possible. In fact, I barely ever looked at YouTube or watched YouTube.
That's amazing.
Just so that I wouldn't accidentally copy somebody.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then that goes back to what we were saying last night. The biggest thing that we've all done as creators is make different content.
Yeah.
And that's why it's worked, because that's the truth. If you make content like someone else, it wouldn't.
Yeah, and a lot of these, new guys trying to do it is, not only is it harder because a lot of it's been done, but it's so easy to copy.
Yeah.
Let's do what Tanner did. Let's do what Roman did. Let's do what Mr. Beast is doing. Well, those guys already did it.
Yeah.
How do you be you?
Yeah.
Which we did, right? We were just
being.
It was different times though.
Yeah, it was.
Less competition. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Yeah.
I think if I started right now, I'd never make it. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know about that, but I just think people knew less information back then. You know what I mean? So anything was cooler.
Yeah, it was cool, dude. Filling a house with balls was cool.
Yes, bro.
Now it's just another dude fills his house with balls. It's not cool.
I heard you guys say that on The Impulsive. It's so true.
Yeah.
It really is. Because when you did that, game changing.
Mind blowing.
Game changing.
Now it's just
he filled his house with balls. What?
You can do this?
What the f***? Where did you even get those?
That opened a lot of eyes. Yeah. We can do this stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's now it's do the same video or similar. It's just it's just another one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just another one, dude.
Well, videos like that touch a lot of lives. I use an example. We just got back from Kentucky. This guy brings one of the balls that Roman has
signed. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And what even more mind-blowing, and I was acted like a little kid. I never seen the merch. This guy had the original merch of Roman Pranks. His actual shirt. And I was like, dude, you got to see this guy. You got to see this guy. You guys have fans that are there, but it was the moment of it brings you back to that this video changed that human being's life, but also they took home a piece of that moment where I don't believe people think of those levels of how important the merch is, how important those little giveaways are, where you guys are signing autographs. Is you giving the fans a piece of you guys, and that's the blessing. Mm-hmm. And the guy was just so ecstatic. That ball, I swear to you, it just came out the pit.
It was in a case,
and it is weird. That's one of the most iconic videos, in my opinion, even too. For me watching your channel, and it is funny because it's just the ball pit video.
It's just the ball pit video.
It's just, you would never think that's impactful, but you're completely right. It really is.
Did you see the guys that remade it? Shot for shot, scene for scene, phone call for phone call?
No.
They're in Europe or something?
They copied you?
Shot for shot, angle for angle.
What?
But they put it up as an original.
That's messed up.
And it's been so many years that people didn't know I ever made the video. It did really well.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's wild. This is that's the version of copying to a whole nother world. They go on the internet, what's popular, boom, we'll copy it.
Yeah, money, money, money.
it's a business.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I had a video change my life. It was already, we already had so much going good, but that one was like a catapult.
Yeah.
You know, but the side of social media that is the biggest win is the, that effect of like, dude, I was at LS Fest this weekend. I was in Bristol last weekend. Those are the moments where you see full grown men come up to you with full tears in their eyes. And they tell you that they're only alive because of you.
Yeah.
And that's a real moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you realize everything you've done has so much more of a purpose than chasing the views and chasing the money and chasing the merch. Mm-hmm. You actually saved a human being.
No, and that's actually hard to grasp.
It really is hard to grasp.
Yeah. Cause like that just sounds like something you just said, but it's like, think about that.
Bro, these the guys,
it's actually hard to.
I had probably this week in 5 full grown men mm-hmm. separately break down in full, like I just hug them and hold them and they're just, it's something that I can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
The level of what our video, what these silly videos did for people.
Yeah.
And now I get to come on the podcast and try to continue to motivate and to inspire through these stories we're talking about.
Yeah.
Whether we talk about earnings or we talk about how mentally exhausting it is, I want it to translate to the viewer. They'll go make merch. They'll go make millions. They'll go. It all's back to the viewer is the goal.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all relative. It really is.
There are so many kids that's like, I felt like I grew up in your house.
Yeah.
Like, they did. Literally.
They did.
I feel like that. They did. Like, I watched you guys. Like,
my viewers could tell me where my forks were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My viewers could tell me where the donkey sleeps.
That's what I'm saying. Like, literally.
It was, we put it all out there. Now, it came with a lot of side effects, mm-hmm. but. Everything I say and talk about is for the viewer now. Everything. Is, there's never a boast in me. It's to, holy crap, if he did it, I can do it. That's period.
Yeah. You've always been really great at having a voice in that area of life too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some people can't like give advice the way you do. Like in your vlogs, that's always been the kind of like the vibe, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Like I love motivating.
Yeah.
That's like such a fun.
And it's really, it bleeds through the screen really well when you do it opposed to somebody else, I feel like.
I don't know. So I think it's because it is me.
A lot of people like you, or a lot of people feeling like their lives have changed by you. Cause like that's the energy you give in your videos a lot too. Like you always want to inspire.
Yeah. I feel like Smile More did so well based on what you just said.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so authentic. It's not like a, it's not just a dollar grab. Yeah, it's like really me in the shirt.
Yeah, straight up.
It's like, I don't know, so much passion behind it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your brand did incredible.
Yeah.
Like you did. Are you still selling merch or no?
No, I shut it off.
Yeah.
I stopped working with the company I was with the last 7 years. So my merch store has been closed since like March. Like I said, I'm shopping around for a new company.
Well, I got you, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
All in.
I would love to talk to you about that.
Man. All in on that. So you, I messaged you maybe a month or two ago and, I don't know. You want to talk about that?
Wait, which part? What? About coming here?
Yeah. Well, I was like, dude, what's going on? Are you okay? Did anybody talk to? And you were like, I kind of been off the wagon. I've been.
Like I lost my mind the last year for sure. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were telling me what you were getting into. And I was like, dude, I get to hit you next time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I probably still deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it on here. I got like heavily into shrooms, like psychedelics for probably like a year and a half. I was doing it like 5 times a week.
Oh my God. I don't know too much anything about
shrooms. I haven't in like 8 or 9 months, but yeah, I got into that shit pretty heavily. And bro, I like lost my mind for a while.
Did that start before you stopped YouTube, or you stopped YouTube and then found that?
It was kind of like in like a bleeding part of the middle of it. Like it kind of assisted both, I think, YouTube stopping and then that starting. Like I originally started the shrooms because you look up online, oh, they help with mental health. Oh, so good for mental health. And they do, but like that's the gateway of what gets you into it, I feel like. So I feel like once I started having the mental health stuff for like over a year and I was like just sick of it, like I just super depressed all the time, then I started looking up that stuff because a friend was like, oh, you should look into this, psilocybin. And so I started looking it up and then I was like, all right, I'm down. So he gave me some and then from there it kind of like, oh, opened my mind and like, oh, I need to do that again. And then again, and then again, and then again.
It's addicting.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. It was such a bizarre experience because it's like messes with your thoughts. And that was just ridiculous. Like I was fully fried for a while. And it's like probably taken the last like 6 months to let a lot of that shit wear off. God. And like now I feel pretty normal again, but I don't think I was like living on
Are
planet
you
Earth
right
for a
now?
While. Am I stoned right now? No, do I look stoned?
No. Are you still on these things?
Yeah, I just heard an interview.
Like, let's talk about aliens.
I just heard an interview with Joe Rogan where he was talking about, you know, his whole like cancel. He was getting canceled hard or trying to be canceled. And they were like, how did you get through it? And he's like, shrooms. Yeah.
Yeah. That definitely like helped me get out of my mental health slump. But there was so much like shit that come with them that I didn't know I was signing up for. But no, they definitely, I mean, they worked for that reason.
Never tried it.
I feel
never
like there's
will.
So many, like there's like microdosing and like there's like all these weird
just different ways
of doing
to
it.
Treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this, it's pretty much like a big loop. Like it doesn't do anything for your life. Like it tricks you into thinking like, oh, you're doing something. Mm. And then it's just like right back to where you were. Like that's kind of the whole experience to sum up my last year and a half.
So basically you're chasing the trick.
Yeah, and then you think you're making progress with the thoughts that you're having, but then it's just like, I mean, full circle, you look back and it's like, what the f***?
Yeah.
Like, that was ridiculous. Like, that was just a big loop.
Yeah, I feel like that's the trick with alcohol as well is you normally, I would drink alcohol if I was having a bad day or if I was having stress in my life or you celebrate. There's always an excuse, right? But you drink the alcohol to escape reality, right? To get out of reality.
Right.
Where really, then now you're now creating a worse reality later.
When you come back to it.
So you have to keep drinking to escape the reality you don't want to be in.
Very true.
But the more you drink, the worse the reality gets. And then you're being tricked to always be drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I was about there with that and smoking weed even. I was really into smoking weed for a while.
Yeah, and you're sober now.
I smoke weed every once in a while, but
you're out in California, dude.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a lot of the friends do.
Blonde hair.
Yeah.
You're about to surf, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I gotta chill out. I gotta get in the zone.
I feel like that's become so mainstream now. God, it was just years ago. It was like you smoke.
Oh, I know.
Now it's just like
sadly,
like there's people locked up over a little marijuana
still.
Right now, it's just like police. He's just got marijuana.
Yeah, I almost got expelled from school for a bowl.
Yeah.
For riffing a bowl?
Yeah, there was a bowl in my car and they like went through my car and
damn.
Here
is it's probably still legal.
I don't even know, dude.
Yeah.
I'm almost 40 years old. I'm just out of the loop.
Hey, we ain't gotta worry about that, but
out of the loop.
I would heavily not mess with psychedelics in case you were thinking about it.
No, I was just
I was just
wondering how to turn that story into something for the viewer, you know, like there's people, it's just everybody needs help, man. I try to just touch on help.
No, everywhere. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, like, especially with social media nowadays, everyone talks about the shroom stuff. Like I just think there should be more information out there about them. And like what you were saying, there's microdosing and then there's like taking a lot of them. Like that's really important aspect of it too. Like I wasn't measuring or taking any controlled like amounts of them at any time. I was just like taking them, which is dangerous. So I just think a lot of people out there thinking about doing it, I don't know, maybe hold off, maybe go to the
maybe
doctor,
hold on.
Talk to a therapist or something. Like just wait for your dark days to kind of pass over, because they will.
Is that stuff expensive like other drugs or is it cheap?
It was honestly super cheap. It was like $100 get you like a plastic bag.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty cheap, dude.
Yeah, bro. For like a whole Ziploc bag of them.
Oh my God. That sounds dangerous to have a Ziploc bag of any drug.
And then I would eat them and go snowboarding and like.
So you were functioning. You were able
to. Oh yeah. I would like rip razors around in
you
the
racing
desert.
Like elephants down the ski resort?
Felt like it. Yeah. I'm like,
I don't want to make drugs sound cool, dude.
No, drugs, they really aren't. Like that shit made me like borderline schizophrenic, like bipolar for a little bit of time. Like I was losing my mind coming off of that stuff because changes your reality.
What made you decide like enough is enough and I want to take this I need to start changing? Like was family coming to you or seeing something?
No, I was like avoiding everyone so that I could keep doing that. But I got like really fixated on the idea of like dying. And like I was just like, this is not good. Like I know I don't want to die. Like I just know I don't want to.
You're fighting your own brain, dude.
Straight up.
Whoa. That don't sound good.
Yeah, so it was weird. And then I was like, yeah, this is not good. I kind of ruined my relationship over them too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I should probably figure my shit out.
What's the relationship status?
Right now, I'm just talking to couple different people. I'm having fun with life.
A couple different.
I'm just having fun. I'm not like searching for a relationship at the moment. Yeah. And
How many of your girl? Because you had a lot of pretty girls over the years, dude.
I've had three girlfriends.
How many of those were just for the vlogs?
Well, all of them were real, like a real functioning relationship.
Yeah, you really dated.
But the first one was really like, we both like were with each other for social media reasons.
Oh, dang.
Like the big relationship that I had on social media. Yeah. I mean, the last 6 months of that relationship, from my perspective, I can't speak for her, but like we were just a relationship for the internet.
That's cool.
And then
for the internet.
Yeah. But like at first it was started off super real.
Yeah.
And then the second girlfriend, that was real. I mean, if anything, that was more offline. And then the third girlfriend was like the most real. Like each time I got a little bit more like, okay, don't put that on social media. Yeah. Okay, don't put that on social media. And then the last one was like probably the realest one I experienced.
Is being at your level of success difficult to find somebody real?
Yeah, 100%. I think just like naturally, because I think maybe girls like have an idea right off the bat that like, oh, he is a good option. You know what I mean? So they treat you different than like a normal guy that they're just trying to sleep with.
Interesting.
Like, so maybe just for that aspect, you definitely, it's hard to tell though. Cause then from the rip, they're just acting how they are. And then you don't even know different.
It's one of the scariest thoughts to me.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite blessings that Britt and I started it all together.
Yeah.
Cause like, if I was where I was at right now, trying to find somebody, I feel like it would be horrible. Horrible.
Yeah,
it sounds terrible.
Yeah. You almost have to just play into
if
like-
If you're really looking for love, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do that, to be honest. Like, I don't think anyone in my generation knows how to-
It's such a different world, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Now it's like, how crazy is it now that kids in school, like elementary, is like, how many followers do you have on Instagram? That's scary.
Yeah.
And that's like literally determines your popularity.
Yeah.
Billy has 3,000?
Yeah, no, he bought half of them.
He's got 3 likes.
He's cloud chasing. And like, they're like third graders.
Bro, it's a scary, like that stuff terrifies me, but I'm not in it.
Yeah.
I'm the old dude that don't get it now. Like I'm really
out of
the loop.
That's not
true though. Dude, I'm out of the loop. I am.
Maybe like the mainstream loop, bro. But like you understand this game better than anybody. Let's be real.
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know. I really just try to do me. Britt and I try to just do
us. But that's why you guys are so good, because you know to do that.
Yeah, I guess. Try not to copy or follow. And that's hard. It's hard. It's easy to be like, all right, what are they doing? Let's just do that.
No, straight up.
Yeah. So I always try to be ahead of the curve, which is a lot harder.
Yeah, because you gotta guess.
Yeah.
So no boxing
shoot
for
the
you?
Dark.
You know when a popular band takes off? Mm-hmm. There's all these similar bands that emerge, right? Eminem blows up. Now there's a million white rappers. But the guys that stay true to their band, that circle always comes back, right? So you're the group that's out of the genre nobody cares about. Well, now this new genre comes, and now you're the popular band because you're just you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're chasing to be Eminem, well, that just faded. Now it's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
And then your time is up. So I've always just believed to just be you and wait for that time to hit, you know?
Straight up.
Yeah. It's wild.
Opportunity and timing.
It's wild. So what are you doing now? You're uploading a little bit. You're dabbling.
So I just kind of started getting back into the YouTube stuff. And then I'm building an office space back in San Diego. So I bought a warehouse, like a commercial building. And then I'm building out the offices there. I'll have like a studio, skate park, garage. Sick. That'll be my HQ for work. And then working on kind of hiring the full team back. Since I took like a good last year kind of off, I did get rid of a lot of people on my team. So I'm trying to rebuild everyone when I'm ready, that I know like this is what I'm going to do for the next decade. Like I'm going to give all these people jobs. So that's kind of what I'm in the process of doing right now. And then, like I said, I just been staying in back in San Diego, my hometown, and going to the skate park and working out and going to the ocean a lot.
Dude, you look good. Can I just say I have more pimples now than you do?
That's fucking good, because
that's
like
crazy.
3 days ago, I had like a lot.
No, your face looks good, dude.
Thank you.
You were fighting that for a long time.
For forever.
And that would be so hard as a vlogger.
Yes. And right? Then another weird thing is because I did Accutane. It's like this pill for acne. And I think that had a big part of the mental health stuff too, because that shit like fucked your body up. Like apparently it changes your genetics. to like produce less oil type of thing. So, I mean, it worked. I have like, no, I have less acne now. Yeah. I still get like kind of cystic acne when I do like more bumps than like pimples. But I mean, the acne medication worked, but I think it also kind of messed my brain up a lot.
Yeah.
But I've now recovered from that as well. So we're in a good spot.
Heck yeah, dude. I used to freaking hate when I wake up. When you daily vlog, there's no day off.
Yeah.
So no matter what's going on, you film.
Bro, there's some bad videos of me out there.
Right, but you just did that. Yeah. And I think that was inspiring to other kids who's got this same issue.
Yeah.
It's like, just be you, keep rolling. It's you now.
Yeah.
Right? So this much of your life.
Yeah.
Now you got clear skin.
Yeah, straight
up. Wow, man, congrats on that.
Thank you, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it feels really good.
And you're 22?
22 now, yeah.
22, God, you're so young.
I know.
You're a kid.
I'm a 99 baby by 8 days. So at least I got that going for me.
Unbelievable. 22. I was still at the rope factory at 27.
Really? Oh, wow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, that is.
I'm still hanging rope, baby. 27, man. You could chill for another, 5 years and just pick up where I started.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have so much time.
I know, it is weird.
So much runway in front of you.
It's weird though, because when I was a kid, like I swear I never saw myself being even past the age of 22. Like I never even thought I'd be this old.
Don't say that yet. You're still 22, bro.
Oh, that's true. But I don't mean like that. I don't mean on some like XXX thing or something. But like, I don't know. It's just weird that now I'm this age, but I'm still young. But when I was a kid, I feel like 22 is so far old. But like now you're here and I'm like, I feel young.
I feel old, you saying that.
I remember.
But when you're a little kid, tell me you didn't think that.
No, I remember Blink 182, nobody likes you when you're 23.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking 23 is so far away.
Yeah.
Like that is old.
When you're a kid,
I was like 17.
So,
yeah. 23, God, I'll never be 23.
Yeah. And it seems like such a random age. And then it's like you're 23 and you're like, oh, I'm just like a young adult.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're young, dude.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait to see what you do, man.
Thank you.
You got so much time. You've got so much knowledge too. Like you've already been in it.
Yeah.
So
are you
think you're going to just start dropping vlogs again? Do you have a new journey? You did podcasting for a while. Why did you stop?
So my co-host ended up moving to Texas to kind of pursue his relationship. He's probably about to get married to his like high school sweetheart pretty much. So he moved out to Texas, got a different job out there. He kind of wanted to just grow up a little bit in his own way. And then when he moved, I was just kind of like, I guess we'll stop the podcast for now.
Because then it was just you.
Yeah, it was just me, and I didn't want to change co-hosts. I mean, I could have done that. But I think once I get the new office space, I'm going to work on getting him back out here and maybe offer him a job out here.
Cool.
Because his girl is a nurse, so she can get a job out here pretty easily. So hopefully get Maverick back out here and start the podcast again.
I'd love to see that,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Don't move to Texas. All right? I need my co-host.
Yes, usually.
I feel like as long as I had a guest, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
But because this is one of the problems with guests is we found that it's usually me and the guests just rattling.
That's right? True. No, I've kind of noticed we've been doing that.
No,
it's really hard.
Listening.
But we also have past and when it's just us, we're just spitting. But the guests, like you see Rogan do it, he's solo.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like,
true. He does it just one-on-one.
But, it's full of guests, so it's a little easier.
That's all right. I'm just over here thinking about 16 years old driving a GTR. I never drove the GTR.
Man, you don't fit in a GTR.
Why'd you let me drive your GTR, bro?
I just didn't care.
You didn't care?
I'm a careless person sometimes, dude.
I had the balls to ask, though. I was like, I was scheming. I was like, should I ask? I'm like, I'm just going to fucking do it. Like, what's the worst he'd say? No. And then you said yes,
yeah,
bro.
I don't care.
And I shit myself.
I don't care, dude. Yeah. That would have been our original GTR, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a legendary one.
The one that Nissan gave you.
Yeah, we don't have that one anymore.
Sorry.
Britt traded it for this lemon, dude. At Jag.
Oh, that's what you traded?
Like, it was fully my decision.
For the record.
For the lemon.
For the record, we had two GTRs that never got driven. I don't even drive mine. So it's like, let's
There's
get something to family.
There's like 3 months you can drive it here. Yeah. Like, you can't even drive it all year.
You can drive it all year.
You can. Out here, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, we can. We just... Yeah, it just sat and rotted. So we're like, let's get something. The family can jump in.
Man, makes sense.
But the Jag, dude, everybody said don't buy a Jag.
What do you think about it now that you have it?
It constantly has problems.
Really?
Yeah, it's but fun though. I love it.
It's a cool car.
Yeah, it's loud.
But it's such a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, it's had a couple issues.
For the viewers, it's like a Jag mom car. Like,
it's like a SVR. SUV. It's like 550 horsepower.
Thing is sick.
Yeah, it's sick, but oh my God.
It's like an F-Type, but they went.
Yeah.
And they squished it up.
That's what it is, basically. Mm-hmm. It's cool. What you getting into the car scene again? You gonna build some cars? What are you doing?
Right now I'm kind of just waiting for my office space to come together. And then I think I will definitely heavily get back more into the automotive stuff. Like when I was on that shroom trip, like I'm telling you, like I lost every idea of everything that I was. Mm. And so like, there was a period where I was just like, I don't even like cars. Like why the f*** did I do all this? And then I just like started getting rid of shit. I made a lot of money on my Lamborghini. So like that was nice. I sold it at a great time.
That's cool.
But yeah, I think I'll definitely go back into cars, but more like maybe JDM stuff, like maybe more Japanese stuff.
And yeah.
I'll have the actual garage and be able to make content around special certain cars and be more consistent about them. But yeah.
Yeah. If you do it right, these hobbies, these cars, they can be investments, right? And then you have them as an asset when you want to bail on it.
Seriously. It's like watches, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing as real estate, cars.
Yeah. Real estate's awesome. Car. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things, if you do it right, you'll either break even, which is great, or you'll make a little or lose a little.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Have you ever missed out or made an opportunity to make a lot of money on a car?
I've never taken the opportunity. Like, obviously, if we posted that GTR online, we'd have made a lot of money, right? But we just have never done that stuff. It's just like, just do it the makes way sense. Everybody would do it and get what we get. So that, I guess, would be an opportunity missed.
Yeah.
But it's also like—
makes sense.
It's, you know, to a point, it's a little silly to just hustle it for a little extra money. You know where I really missed out on is when— it was when everyone was telling me to buy those Bored Apes.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What would you have bought it for at price?
I don't remember. Oh, but okay. But I remember just dude.
Did you miss out?
Yeah.
You
would have made 100%. 100%. Yeah, it was like you should buy these. And I was like, no. I'm not even gonna take the time to set up an account for this. Yeah, it's like so
open
silly.
C?
Right.
Hell no.
That was a big classic like.
Yeah, you can't even get blamed for that,
just
though. It's a digital picture, man.
Just slept like, on it. So that's like an opportunity that I missed out on. But for the most part, everything we do is like,
physical items.
Like, I don't, my dream car is a little Toyota truck, which I bought. Like, I'm not buying.
She doesn't drive.
Which I'm not buying McLaren.
And he got the RC car.
Is it a lemon Brit? Did he buy a lemon?
Yeah, who knows? He started it like 3 times.
Come on, I drive that truck more than the GTR. But basically, it's like I didn't flourish with the things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent plenty of money on other stuff, mainly for the home, the family, the whether it's properties or whatnot. But everything is based on this will sell later. Mm-hmm. It's basically holding like a bank account would.
Yeah,
which money is rotting in a bank account right now.
Yeah,
so you got to put it in places that can turn your money into more money. That's the real. That's the real goal.
Have you bought the GTR to like a car show? Because it's pretty famous.
A couple times, yeah. When I was working with Hot Wheels, I would bring it to all of their, I can't remember what they called them. They had some famous car show every month and they would tour around. I brought it to a couple of them.
Yeah, Matt has his car. Like what's the exact making of
the Impala?
Car? Yeah. And man, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Fans take pictures with it. Why do you guys bring your two GTRs and put them side by side?
We should somewhere,
And bring it over
both
to
both of them are sitting there.
It's just never made it happen. Yeah.
Well, also, that event was an LS Fest, so I had to have an LS motor.
Let's ski resort them, dude.
Bro, I'm race down. Up a ski resort. Straight up down. Yeah. Put a hydro brake in there, sequential gearing.
People would love to watch
that. Rear-wheel drive.
People would watch that. Yeah.
That'd be so sick.
A TikTok definitely would.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd probably pull it down, but
yeah, it'd be too dangerous. Too dangerous, up a hill. Bro. Oh my gosh.
Can you post on TikTok?
Yeah. That's what I heard you say, that you always get shit removed on TikTok. Everything. I can post whatever the fuck I want.
Everything.
I post ridiculous shit and it doesn't get taken down.
I can't post an RC car. It gets taken down.
That's crazy.
It's got TikTok's hating on it.
I post me hill bombing a giant hill with no helmet, like, and they blow it up like 10 million views.
Awesome. Good for you, dude. Yeah,
but it works for me for some reason.
You know what does really well is our podcast TikTok.
Oh, I see your podcast all over my TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like looking at like 60 million views this month.
I'm going to say hi to myself right now.
Yeah.
Hi, Tanner, on for you, Paige. That'd be cool, though. That'd be cool.
So you have watched a couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I've got a question for you in your relationships, in your serious relationships. Mm-hmm. You ever farted in front of the queen?
Depends how much I like you. Like, if I farted in front of you, I didn't like you that much.
Dang, see?
Do you know the story? You know the story with them two?
I feel like I maybe have heard it, but remind me. But like, if I'm dating a girl for like 6 months, I'll start farting in front of her. But if we're dating and we're just like having fun and I fart her in front of her, it's like, okay, I don't really care where this goes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to fart in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's different, but yeah, we're almost 14 years.
No farts. The sign?
Oh, whoa.
No, yeah. That's what I said.
Zero?
Well, there's been two times.
There's been some like drunk moments back in the day where I was just like,
rah. That's amazing.
Look how red his face is.
No, not at all.
Wait, so you'll fart in front of him?
No.
Oh, so no farts across the table?
No.
None.
But like literally like it just doesn't happen.
Because you don't fart?
I fart.
Oh, you're
just not around her.
That's
I don't
amazing.
Disrespect her euphoria.
That's unreal. That's like commitment. Her euphoria.
Yeah, bro. I'm probably going to end up in a wheelchair over this, but you'll be respected.
Gastric, whatever.
Yeah, just my head's just going to explode. Bah!
What was wrong? That's impressive. Is there a reason? Is it just, you don't want to mess up her euphoria or something?
The whole theory is just like, I don't want to, like, I feel like if my feet stunk, I'd go wash them so she didn't have to smell it.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't want to disrespect her, dude.
That's fair.
It's weird. But it's just weird.
You just don't want to burden her, so you just.
This girl, dude.
No, that's amazing.
No, I try. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, ladies are going to learn something. The one woman that you choose and you fart in front of her in 6 months, she's going to know, oh, shit.
He don't like
really
me.
He really likes me.
Because he feels that
comfortable now.
But if I'm hiding the farts at first, that means I like you.
Yeah. That's good. It's a sign of respect, I think. But it's all mental.
Yeah.
Because
it is.
I know plenty of people that are fully in love that rip it all day. Like, there's nothing wrong with that either. I wish it was that.
Yeah, it depends how much like we put what the fart is worth.
It's like when you some countries where you burp to show respect to the chef.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Exactly.
God, man.
Good job, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDonald's is getting it from me all the time. Like, yeah. Let me ask the question. What's the weirdest request that's been ever asked from you?
In what terms?
Has someone ever asked you, hey, I want a tattoo, like, your name, but this is where I want to do it, or this, I want to do something like that. What's the weirdest request you've ever been?
Ooh. Just overall fan encounter?
Just.
I don't know. Do you have one of you off the rip?
I had like three people this weekend have me sign their arm to get it tattooed. People are still doing that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I have a ton of signatures signed on people, which puts so much pressure on me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, oh, I gotta make this one perfect, right?
I'm trying to think of something weird. I don't know.
But that happens all the time. Like, I've been through a McDonald's and a girl's like, sign my arm. And then the next time I come through, it's tattooed. Like,
wow. Yeah. How many tattoos have you given then?
Dude, I don't know.
People have a lot of Roman Iowa tattoos. I've had that happen one time and it was like one of my friends.
You know what? There's a ton of Smile More tattoos.
Smile More tattoos.
Tons.
Yes.
Tons. But it's also cool. It's also a brand that even if I went away and disappeared and never came back, Smile More's still cool.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's like
it's just a good, positive, you know. Oh, I like your tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, doesn't say Roman Atwood, but respect to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of any crazy.
You don't have any like babies out there? You haven't accidentally had a kid?
I wish. I'm usually pretty careful.
Dang.
With the baby stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, hey, if there's any girls out there that are trying to have a baby, let me know.
Now that's a call to action, right?
Tanner Fox vlog.
Country's wife's trying to have a baby.
Oh, yeah, maybe she can call Tanner, dude.
Listen, man.
I got pretty good genetics.
Come out, little Tanner Fox. I'm like, listen, man.
He just comes out with a scooter.
Where you been, woman?
You're just like,
this poor guy's been trying to have a baby for over a year now.
I am, man.
Over a year now.
My wife thinks. We go in hard, but you know, it's just not working.
You're doing the right positions and
doing everything, man.
Elevating
everything, man. I am Magic Mike times 1,000, man.
And what's going down?
I think the biggest thing is that she's been on birth control for such a long time.
Oh,
and
like
I
wearing
think,
it off.
And then I think that's one of the biggest hurdles. Mm-hmm. But I also believe, man, just you give it time, man. I think we're trying so hard that, like, I believe, like, the stress of just trying to have a baby.
Yeah.
I believe when I'm not, like, focused on it and she's not, it will kind of.
Yeah.
I believe it'll happen. Mm. I believe it'll happen. But I believe that that's the biggest thing, though, yeah. is that she's been on birth control such at a young age.
That makes sense, yeah.
And I believe that that's kind of what's, like, holding us back.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
And the body's changing a little bit. Yeah. And
if you're on that for a long time, it takes...
Yeah,
it's going to get there.
It takes... It's like you're on permanent birth control after so many years. Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah, birth control is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If birth control was for a man, how many men you think would
I think about that all the time.
I think about it. I'm surprised they didn't have a pill for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know.
see, guys... Oh,
it's kind of fucked that we're just like, yeah, girls, take that.
It seems simple like, enough for a man to have birth control pill.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like at this point, we'd all be like, we're not taking that shit.
You ain't taking my manlyhood.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a friend of mine that I was joking with him. I was like... Listen, man, when are you going to get yourself fixed? Because we talked about Steve-O, and, like, he got himself fixed. I was like, man, you're, like, you're just your sixth kid. And he's like, it's something about that Russian roulette, man. I just want to know if I could still do it at my age. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, you don't want to stop people.
Just shoot.
If it happens, it happens. You know what I mean? And I was like, man, that's pretty daring. But, like, you're still having children. And you're still, like, going through those moments where, like, are you ready to be a father? Like, could you say? And he was like, oh, I'm down for whatever, man. Whatever. If I could still make it, I could produce it. I'm living life on the edge.
That's right.
Dang, dude. You deal with any, like, I know we've had a couple, like, lawsuits and through your career and anything weird like that, court-related?
Yes, but more, like, privately and with, like, people that you know, which is unfortunate, but that's usually how it goes. Like, a couple close people in my life that I've had to deal with some shit like that, but it's kind of part of the shit. You learn from it.
Yeah.
Part of the thing, but I've had like two of them.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the career, I guess.
Yeah. But sadly, people like to take advantage wherever they can.
Oh my God. Yeah. Especially when I remember being in YouTube for years where people were like, you make money on YouTube? That was my favorite part of YouTube.
Yeah.
That nobody knew you had any money.
Right, and then you tell people how much money you make and it sounds fake. They don't even believe you.
Yeah, and it's also like once it became public and that's when I started problems.
Yeah.
I was like, can we just chill with that?
Do you think that's a tough moment for you, like for you guys as content creators, that people know that information and how hard is it to try to keep that information more quiet now? Because as you get older... Like, I think, like, as a young person, maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I think as a young person, people want to show what they make and what they have. But as you get older in your family, like, I wouldn't want nobody knowing what I'm making or, like, what I'm doing or, like, what I'm worth. Or, like, can people look at me? I don't want them to judge me off of that.
Yeah. Well, like, it's different times right now. Everybody knows social media stars make money.
Yeah.
When we were a social media star, that was still very hidden in private. Mm. And I remember the first time Forbes magazine was running an article on me, I literally requested, please don't run this ad because I didn't want it. I didn't want anything like that out there. I enjoyed just the privacy. And they ran the ad, they ran the article. And that was like the moment so many problems in my life started financially.
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
that single moment changed everything.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. It's a lot to account for too.
Yeah.
Just in general.
That's impressive though, man. Some people want to be in Forbes magazine.
Yeah, but
you knowing that this is not me, sticking to your guns, that's huge. But also know like, well, why did it become like that moment? What happened from there? Like
it became public. Now all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, wait. You're making this money doing this?
Yeah.
And it's like big money, right? It's like, so it was, that started the whole chain of a lot of problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was like, dude, we had people we hadn't seen in 10 years emailing us for money.
Yeah.
We had, it was like crazy woodwork, dude. It was like, this is real. This is like winning the lottery and everyone knows.
Yeah, it's true.
Now you have everybody.
All of a sudden everyone needs a loan.
Everybody needs a loan, bro.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully we were in a position to help a lot of people. But
yeah.
a lot of headaches came with it. And now it's very common. It's just public now. It's chill now. It's past the point of shock. Now it's just, that's just what it is. So we survived it. But yeah, I remember trying to keep that private.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember also a lot of YouTubers that were in it way before me saying, hey, never show what you have. Never show your nice car.
Yeah.
Never show you make money. And I was like, okay, this is all right.
I remember Casey Neistat was so good about hiding his wealth even in those days. I don't know if you remember, but he'd have like a nice Mercedes car for him and his wife, and he'd make sure he doesn't show it, or make sure he doesn't show his apartment or stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember kind of some guys coaching me on like, dude, you're going to have to like, you know, don't show a Lambo. If you buy a Lambo, never show it. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. I'm not going to buy a Lambo. Yeah. I'll buy a red pickup truck.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, man, I get it. It creates a lot of headaches for people. But yeah, then you got the other side of people that just want to flaunt it, like, you know, and some of them do better that way.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
If I flaunt a Lambo, I'm going to get hate for it. Yeah. Right? It's just who I am.
Depends how you own
it. But some guys are expected to have the Lambo and flaunt it and have the chains and the cash flow.
Straight up.
Yeah.
It's like, or else they're not entertaining.
That's their, good for them.
Yeah.
Because we all have different.
Straight up.
Different grow ups, dude. Anything else you guys want to throw in here? Got any fun topics? Anything exciting? Anything you want to promote?
I was going to talk about where do you guys like to invest outside of like your business?
Yeah. Right now for me, it's purchasing things that will, like property. I love property.
Okay.
Land. We own a river house now that we've never ever
been
to.
One time.
Yeah, we went one time to buy it.
Oh wow.
We have a bunch of property and you know, things that I buy now have to either hold value or make more money.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Do you do any like apartment building and like kind of things?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'd like to find me a big rental option. That'd be
that's
sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, a lot of our money just goes to the family. Like whatever we can do for the future, and you know, we got four kids, dude.
Yeah.
We're not riding solo. Like, it's not just me and Britt. Like, this is going to last four kids? Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so who taught you, like, property is the place to invest?
My mom and dad really helped me when we really started to, like, make the kind of money that was like, all right, this is more than you need. Mm-hmm. Now you need to put it places, right? That's when mom and dad was really smart. And taught us places to put certain money. Like 10% of your money needs to go here, and 10, you know. So yeah, we've done a handful of things.
Yeah,
but a lot of it's just fun stuff that we enjoy.
Yeah,
you know,
helicopter.
Yeah, dude, just bought a nice helicopter. Learning to fly, like, it's so fun.
Yeah,
love it, love it. Next time you come, we'll just be flying around, dude.
I'm ready, bro. We almost took the helicopter to the podcast. We could have today.
Dude, I know.
So 6 months
soon,
from now. Dude.
Soon, yeah. Next year, I'll just be showing up here in a helicopter.
Yeah, that's going to be sick.
Yeah. Crazy. It's like probably where you're at too. It's right. It's like these vlogs are more than just filming and entertaining, right? It's giving a piece of yourself to the viewer.
100%, right?
It's like being in a meet and greet. You're on 100% to give all your energy and love to that person that's at the meet and greet.
Right.
So the vlog is a piece of you. So for however many years we've done it, I've given a lot of my life to the viewer, right? So now I'm in a place where I'm going to try to do that here on the podcast, but find these things that now I have time to do that brings me joy.
Yeah.
Right? I could never learn how to fly a helicopter 2 years ago because I was daily vlogging 3 years ago. Zero time. Mm-hmm. I have time to do anything for me. It was what's going to entertain the viewer.
Yeah.
So now I'm in that place where I'm like, what are some of these things that I want to do as a person that's going to really make me happy?
Which I think then directly correlates to better content that people can relate to better. when you do make content out of it. You know what I mean? Because it's like a real, genuine, authentic thing that you're doing.
Yeah, and that's going to come, right? We're going to make content.
Of course.
But for now, it's just, it's completely off camera.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a couple hours a day when I fly, and it's just, dude, I'm at peace up there, dude. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Does it make you sad not filming your journey with it? Like not having that to look back on, or?
Or do you feel like it's yours?
I feel like it's something that I'm finally doing for me.
That's awesome.
Right?
And that's a hard feeling to find coming from the social media thing.
Because I'll be honest.
What belongs to you?
I'll be honest. There's plenty of times where I'm flying, I'm like, how am I not sharing this? I haven't posted a picture. I haven't posted an Instagram slide. I haven't posted with the kids in the back.
Yeah.
We're flying over a lake. And I'm like, God, what a great
Instagram. You already fly with the kids in there?
With a pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't.
I was going to say, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, with a pilot. Yeah, I'm like, why am I not sharing? It's just really something for me. Yeah. It really is. And it's so hard to like to separate me from the social world, dude.
Yeah.
It actually feels really good. It actually feels really good to have something that I'm doing.
It's finally like a real reward.
It's like a little joy that's it's just for me.
That's awesome.
So I encourage everybody to find, like I've said this before, for our whole life, we're going to do crap we hate to do constantly. Daily, weekly, monthly. It's very important to find things we love to do.
Yeah.
To pepper in there. You got to do it or you're just going to be doing things you hate. So it's kind of where I'm at right now. I finally got a little time to do something for me. Maybe it's selfish. I don't know. It's something for the future though, dude. I'm going to be filling that thing with camping gear and taking the family camping and just.
No, that's so cool.
It's going to be so sick, dude. But it's coming. For those of you who want to see it, it's coming. Definitely going to.
I got to see the helicopter.
Yeah.
Check that out.
You guys can't see it.
That's awesome.
Fun stuff.
Quick question. I learned with Roman and Brittany, they said their fan base grew up. Where's your fan base at right now of like following you? Is your fan base now like, is it a different audience because they're growing up now?
So it's so strange because like I'll be out in like at the mall or something and I'll have somebody that's like a 35-year-old guy that's like, I love the car videos you do. And then I'll have like a 12-year-old girl that's like, oh, I love your videos with FaZe Rug. And then there's like a 16-year-old boy. So it's like all over the place. But definitely now it's a lot more 19-plus-year-olds that were like 13, 14 watching my content back in the day. But it's still like, even to this day, like I was at the mall in Arizona last week and I was with George Janko and we were getting like bombarded by people. And it was like I said, all age demographics. So I don't know. It's still really all over the place with genders and age, but I would say like majority is like 18 plus to like 25.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're definitely all grown up from the era when we were like
really
producing content.
Yeah. It's wild. It's all adults for us now.
Yeah.
It's all adults.
Yeah.
Like I see kids in the store now, no clue who I am.
Yeah.
Five years ago, it was just like, you got to weave through the store to get where you need to go.
Yeah.
You see kids. It's crazy.
Now I see like a 10-year-old and if they come up to me, I'm like, why the hell are you watching my video?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's insane, but I don't know what they're watching.
It's like, it's because their parents watched you.
Yeah.
Like literally I have moms and dads. Their kids know us because of them.
Yeah, that's crazy. And they're like, grown up and shit. Like the little kids are grown up.
Hitting the second generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. It's wild.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah, man. Well, we're freaking honored to have you. I can't wait to see what you're doing next. Like, I know it's going to be successful, whatever it is, dude.
Thank you.
You have an act and an art for it. And yeah, man.
No, it's an honor to come on this podcast. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up unless you guys got any more. If you want to go anywhere with this, we can sit here all day or we can chill. We can call it.
Up to you guys. Y'all are the captains.
I'm good.
Y'all got nothing? Do we have any like weird questions?
Comment banana if you made it this far.
Yeah, right? You posted a tweet about being here. Do you remember any questions from the tweet? Maybe we could just hit a couple of those.
Yeah, and I did an Insta story.
Yeah, so let's just drop a couple of the viewers' questions. Wrap it up with that, and
you can pull anything up.
Oh yeah, you can read them. You can read them. Pick whatever ones you want to answer.
Well, it's your podcast.
All right.
All right, Tanner. What ask myself a question.
Do you want? Oh God, it's not gonna work.
If there's anything on there,
it's not gonna work. Oh, dude, I'm just looking at your OnlyFans now.
Oh shit, get off there.
Yeah, it's not working.
Guys, don't even try to look it up. He's lying. There's no OnlyFans.
I see y'all. Maybe I can just read them from here. Got a lot of investing and finance questions, which we kind of just did. How has life impacted you through fame, ups and downs? Like, I feel like we've kind of tapped on that a little bit. Like, at such a young age, dude, I think you're very, R. Willie asked you about scootering, dude. That's fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. We talked about him. The bus we touched on. Dude, for the young kids that are crushing it right now, like, what's your advice to just keep it going, dude?
As like cliche as it sounds, like, always stay true to yourself and like how you have your helicopter. Like, everybody needs something that's like has nothing to do with anything, because those things always equate to something. So it just, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself to the point where you bite yourself in the ankle, hurting yourself in the future. Like, just love what you do every day. And I don't know, I think a lot of people have anxiety these days, and the closer you can get to realizing that they're all just like thoughts, like, the better you can make real world actions and get closer to doing the things you love. And like, really, that's how I say, just don't put pressure on yourself and stay true to yourself. Like, just every day do something that you enjoy, because everyone's got their own level of that, you know, whether it's like ice skating or cars, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just have a good speed of life and stay true to yourself. And awesome, I think you'll continue to crush it forever, because you won't run out of energy. That's the biggest thing.
Dude, a lot of these questions are like, I don't even want to say some of them.
Are they bad?
This guy wants to know about butt stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's just stupid. Business startups, like, a lot of this is like kind of we've touched
generic,
on. A lot of this we touched on. YouTuber fights? Are you going to box?
Actually, that's a great thing to end it on. Did you see the Austin Broom fight, bro?
Can we talk
about that?
I saw clips on Twitter.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the fight live. We were at LS Fest, I think, was when it was happening. Mm-hmm. But, dude, it looked like a great fight.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a great fight, man.
Yeah.
Austin got dropped 5 times.
Did you see it?
No.
I didn't even know you could get dropped that many times in a boxing
fight. It shouldn't have been legal to what happened to him.
Usually
they
get called off.
Yeah.
Was it like trips, or he got knocked?
No, he got knocked down 5 times.
God.
Like, off his feet.
Props for getting back up, but.
Yeah, you could tell his ego wanted that win, and it was his physically, he was not going to get it.
God, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I would love to get back in, or not back in the ring. I'd love to get in the ring, because.
Your fight got canceled like that day or something.
Yeah, I was supposed to fight on the first Austin McBroom
who were you
card
fighting?
Thing. I was originally supposed to fight Madison Beer's boyfriend, who, like, that was cool. Like, that was a fun, like, it sounded cool. And then he backed out, and they gave me like his friend, who was just like this random kid who like got followers from being friends with all these other kids.
Okay.
And he just didn't like take the training serious at all. He was 15 pounds heavier than me the day of the fight, and the commission didn't even want to let it happen. But it was just some random kid that had followers because his friends did.
Got it.
So they just like gave me someone, and he was like way bigger than me. So it didn't even, he was supposed to drop weight.
But you were going to fight him.
Yeah. I gained 15 pounds, which is way harder training cardio. And he was supposed to drop 15 pounds, but he dropped 3 pounds in a matter of 3 months.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't trying.
Yeah. So they called it off. And then no one ended up getting paid except for like 3 people, because they had like signed contracts.
Yeah.
But I would love to get in the ring in the future if there's ever an opportunity. I think that'd be fun.
You think it's like something you want to do? Or is it like, I can make a little money doing this?
Back then it was strictly for money. Mm. Like, it was just like, okay, like, I was going to get a fat check. I was supposed to make like $350K from that.
Wow.
Didn't.
Just for fighting as somebody that, I don't
the
know.
The event flopped, but. Yeah. But so I don't even think, that's part of the reason probably no one could make money, maybe. I don't know.
Did anybody get paid? Like,
I heard later on that people did start getting paid, not everybody, but I heard that like some key people did get paid. Like, Deji got paid before the event because that was in his contract.
Smart.
Shit. So yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, really though.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I would love, it would be cool to get in the ring.
It would be cool to see you out there, dude. Yeah.
I trained like a damn professional for 3 straight months. So, I mean, I'm like a decent amateur boxer at this point. Like, I was every 7 days a week, sparring twice
a
week.
Holy smokes. Yeah. That's commitment.
Yeah. I was like,
that's hard.
Full
yeah.
going. So,
that's hard. Hard to do anything 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Posting up too.
Yeah, you were looking good, man.
Yeah.
He's looking good.
Yeah. So, I could move a little bit. So, in the future, that'd be really cool.
That's cool.
Any people out there?
I think you and I would be good. Probably.
Low key.
Good fight, bro. I couldn't hit you, dude.
It would be, though. Like, we're like, so you're heavier than I am, but if I come up a little bit of weight, we're like the same height almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like a whole generation.
Yeah.
I come out in a wheelchair, you come out in a Ferrari.
Yeah. No, that's funny though.
Yeah. I get Britt out there smacking another chick around.
Britt versus.
Who's a small.
Cole LeBron's wife.
Got a small chick.
Do you know there?
Cole oh, yeah. LeBrant? Wow. Is it LeBrant or LeBron?
LeBrant. I don't know. LeBrant. Savannah. Yeah. Yeah. You versus her.
God, that would sell tickets. That would sell tickets.
That would sell hella tickets.
That would sell tickets for sure.
You versus Catherine. Get gives back.
She seems a little bit bigger than I am. I feel like she's a little taller.
She's a little out there too. So you could take her.
You could take her. I've never met them. Never.
They're interesting.
Yeah, never met them. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Like she needs to get in the ring with Austin next.
Oh, that would sell tickets.
That would sell tickets.
Sell tickets.
Oh my god.
Austin
gosh.
And Catherine McBroom in the ring.
Husband versus wife.
Who gets the kids, bro?
Tie his hands behind his back and let her just go at him.
You know, I don't know them at all, dude. I really don't. I only see what the internet says. Yeah. Like, yeah. I can't even say anything good or bad about them. But boy, they make some headlines, dude.
I can't say anything good about them either.
Are you guys going to the Jake Paul's fight?
100%.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
No, I mean you can. I can't.
Why?
Because we're babysitting that weekend.
Babysitting.
Your nephews.
Oh,
they come.
They'll be fine on their own.
They'll come to the Jake Paul fight.
Yeah.
Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a dope fight.
I want to go to that.
Yeah. I'll definitely be there.
Yeah, that's
definitely
gonna be sick. It's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
So I'll be there. It's actually pretty close to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're looking for a babysitter if anyone is interested.
Everyone just email us right here.
Yeah, dude, that would be interesting. Probably dope babysitter listening. And then some other guys from Brit Snapchat. I'll watch them.
Yeah, I'll be at home.
All right. We freaking love y'all. Thank you for supporting, watching the podcast. All love to Tanner for making all the way to Ohio, dude. That's a big trip from San Diego.
I had to. So. Hey, literally, Roman texted me like 3 days ago. He said, podcast on Monday. I was like, yes.
You literally did.
I'm here.
I was like, are you serious? And you're like, I'm done. Flights are booked.
It's an honor. Thank you all so much for having me.
I even offered to cover his flights. Nah, dude, I got it.
Nah, so, for Roman, thank you.
Rockstar, bro. Thank you. Love you guys. That's it. We're going to wrap it up. You're beautiful. One of a kind. Smile more. Yeah, buddy.
Heck yeah.
That's fun, dude.
That was so fun. Thank you, guys.
That was quick, dude. That was an hour and a half. Holy cow.
That was an hour and a half?
Right?
Minus 17.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Minus 7 minutes.
Five.
We started around 7 because I put the mic on and then.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all good. What up, Nate?
How's it going, man?